Welcome, everybody, to the F-Ball NFL Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Hengst. I cover the NFL for Sports on Earth, The Comeback, and the Cleveland Browns for Scout.com's Orange and Brown Report. This week, like every week, I am joined by my co-host, Brian.
What's happening?
Well, in the world of the NFL, technically speaking, not too much for the next 6 weeks. All 32 teams have wrapped up their final mini camps of the off-season program this week. That means 6 more weeks until training camp begins in earnest for everybody in late July. But that also doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen in the NFL between now and then. It's just not going to involve coaches and players practicing on fields and turf in hot weather.
True. It's like the home stretch for the off season.
It's the home stretch for the off season because in 6 weeks' time starts training camp, and therefore preseason games not too long after that, early August, the first game being played, the Hall of Fame game in Canton. And then we're back at it essentially.
Fast
and then, you know, by the second week of September, it'll be time for the regular season to begin.
Yeah, it'll take till about half the games are done on the first weekend. Then everybody says, "All right, I'm done with preseason. I want the regular season."
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cares. But there are things to talk about this week on the podcast, and we're going to start by talking about some money because somebody in Denver is not a happy camper, and that is linebacker Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP linebacker Von Miller.
Better pay the man.
The Denver Broncos had to make a lot of difficult decisions this offseason regarding their free agents. And a lot of guys, you know, moved on. Brock Osweiler, Malik Jackson, Danny Trevathan among them. Those guys getting paid pretty well by their new teams. Because the main goal here for the Broncos was to keep Von Miller in the fold. That was priority number one. And while they couldn't come to an agreement during the new league year about fair compensation for Miller, they did place the franchise tag on him worth $14.129 million. Not a bad payday for a single year, but of course, not the kind of money Miller is looking for, especially in this era of ever-rising salary caps and looking at what other players are getting paid around the league. The lack of job security, essentially, that comes along with the franchise tag. You know, you know you're only there for 1 year, potentially, before you hit the free agent market again. Unsurprisingly, Von Miller is not happy about this. He does not want to play under the franchise tag. He wants a long-term deal. He said that there's no chance he's going to play while tagged. Granted, we still have a month to go. We have until July 15th for the Broncos and Miller to get a deal done. But there's a lot of reasons why he shouldn't be happy with the tag and wouldn't want to play under the tag. You know, there are two big examples this offseason. Olivier Vernon's deal with the New York Giants. And then this week, Fletcher Cox's extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. There was an offer on the table reported last week that the Broncos were offering him a 6-year, $114.5 million max value contract, but only two years of that and $38.5 million of the contract would be guaranteed, whereas Miller was looking for 3 years of full guarantees and somewhere around $60 million in full guaranteed money. Now, I think that would be fair compensation because when you talk about Olivier Vernon, a 5-year deal, $85 million with $52.5 million guaranteed, $40.5 million of that guaranteed the moment he signed the deal. And Cox on a 6-year, $102.5 million extension, which has $63.299 million guaranteed and $36.299 million of that guaranteed at signing. Also, his 2018 salary will become guaranteed in 2017 rather than the offer that was given Miller, where his 2018 salary would not be guaranteed until 2018. Comparing these deals and then comparing the production on field between Miller, Cox, and Vernon, it's clear that Miller is the superior player and should be paid accordingly. So where do you think this is headed? We have a month between now and the deadline where he's forced to essentially sit out or play the year under the franchise tag. July 15th, they can't make a long-term deal after that with the tag players. Do you think that the deal is going to get done between now and then?
I think it better. I mean, I don't blame him, especially after this deal gets signed with Fletcher Cox. And that's kind of the guarantee that he was looking for.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I mean, this guy, you can't say single-handedly because it's, you know, the ultimate team sport and all that. But he was so much a reason. I mean, he won the MVP in the Super Bowl. He was a major factor in that game in why the Denver Broncos won that game.
And why the Carolina Panthers could not move the ball.
And, yeah, and he was a big reason that Cam was having a rough time that day.
Yeah.
So, you know, I say pay the man. I mean, it's time, you know. what he's asking is not out of line based on the market. So, you know, at this point, if they don't get the deal done, then I think you're going to have to really start questioning what Elway's doing there, just because he's letting so many guys walk and he won't pay anybody in this time of ever-increasing salary cap.
Well, he's uncomfortable giving a non-quarterback a quarterback-style payday. That's part of it. That's what I've been hearing. And the other thing that kind of is crazy to me about the Broncos' stance on all of this is that Miller essentially agreed to all the terms of the contract. He was fine with 6 years. He was fine with $114.5 million of total value. What he didn't like was that it was only a two-year guarantee rather than a three-year guarantee, and therefore his guaranteed money of $38.5 million was not going to be enough because he wanted a fully guaranteed salary in the third year.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, everything is already set up there aside from that guarantee in that third-year situation. And I think the Broncos don't have a lot to worry about in terms of risk of giving Miller that kind of payday, giving him that three-year guarantee, and thinking that he's not going to do anything good with it, considering over the course of his career, you know, he's averaged 12 sacks per season.
Yeah, he's always been solid.
He's always been a very good player. And while there have been some, like, off-field stuff that he's been involved with in the past, it seems to be behind him. You know, I think that – and when you look at all the players that Denver lost in free agency – the uncertainty at the quarterback position, you need Von Miller on the field. You know, you're also dealing with a situation where, you know, Aqib Talib might be facing some degree of a suspension this season. And you essentially need Von Miller to be out there.
And you lost the other guys there too.
And you lost, because you lose Malik Jackson, you lose Danny Trevathan, and while they, you know, they did get that extension done this week with Brandon Marshall, another linebacker there. I mean, Miller is essentially the engine of that defense. And if you have so much uncertainty on offense, you might have some uncertainty in the secondary, depending on what happens with Aqib Talib. Now you can't have your surefire pass rusher sitting out because of this situation with these guarantees. And yeah, I understand the unwillingness to want to pay quarterback-type money to non-quarterback players. But look at this Fletcher Cox deal. Look at the Olivier Vernon deal. You know, with the salary cap going up and the fact that, of course, if the importance of the passing game keeps increasing, then the importance of stopping the pass game keeps increasing as well, and affecting the quarterback up front is essential.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why Von Miller doesn't have that kind of cachet to that organization right now.
Well, especially, too, because, I mean, what's the difference in guaranteed money? You're talking, what, 20-ish, 15-ish?
We're talking about 20, 21 million difference in guarantees.
I mean, do you think the salary cap's going to increase by more than $20 million in 3 years?
It has over the past 3 years
so
far, so I wouldn't see why that's not an impossibility.
I mean, just looking at that simplistic of point of view, it's just like, you know, you really shouldn't be all that worried about that third year.
And also, if Elway and the powers that be there are worried about paying a non-quarterback quarterback money, they don't have a quarterback they're going to pay quarterback money to in the next 3 years.
Would they be paying
Von Miller? You know what I mean? You're either going to, like, settle for Sanchez.
Let him be your quarterback. He just happens to play on defense.
You're going to settle for Sanchez, or maybe Trevor Siemian takes the reins there. But that's not going to all of a sudden you know, make him super expensive. They have his rights for a couple more years. They're not going to have to worry about paying him. Same with Paxton Lynch. They just drafted the guy, so they don't have to even worry about giving him a, you know, a substantial chunk of money for four more years.
Right.
And, you know, what, some highly talented, expensive quarterbacks, and they had the free agent market, and the Broncos are interested in landing him? Because, you know, otherwise they could, if they're not happy, they could maybe get somebody more highly rated next year in next year's draft. And again, you're talking about another cheap player. So who are you going to be giving this money to in the next 3 years? After 3 years from now, you know, maybe that's when your quarterback has developed or you've found your guy or whatever. But who are you giving that money to in the next 3 years anyway?
Great point.
And when and just looking at these comparable these deals, you know, this Fletcher Cox deal, this Olivier Vernon deal, Von Miller is completely in the right for the kind of money that he's asking for, given his production. He should be asking for more.
Yeah, no, that's why I say, like, this to me seems pretty, you know, pretty spelled out that what Elway should be doing here. And if he can't, like I said, if he can't get over that third year and they end up with this contract dispute and all this, and it's, you know, and it gets like into the season or something. I mean, it's just it just seems like, where is his head and what is the problem there? Because, you know, how is it that they can't figure out how to keep anybody on contract correctly? You know,
right? I mean, I understand. You know, all the guys who left in free agency, because if you look at the kind of contracts these guys were getting, you know, Malik Jackson's deal from the Jaguars and stuff. These are high value deals, and they were, you know, they were some of the more coveted players of the beginning of free agency, and those guys are always going to get paid a bit more than they're worth.
Sure.
So, and I understand that the Broncos didn't want to do that.
But that's what I'm saying, is they saved all that money so they could re-sign Von Miller. So go re-sign him.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that this Fletcher Cox deal, now that he basically got essentially just a, you know, in max value, not the same, a little bit less than Von Miller, but obviously nobody really earns that. But in terms of the guarantees and the three years essentially of guarantees, it's a strong template for Miller to go back to that negotiating table and say, listen, this is starting to get
ridiculous. I mean, that's almost a point to go back to them and ask for more.
Exactly.
In my
exactly.
mind.
Exactly. Now I feel like the Broncos have screwed themselves
out
of having to pay him more Fletcher Cox is a very good player. And he's a very talented pass rusher.
But he's not Von Miller.
And if he's getting this money, that kind of...
I mean, that's the thing. Is like you turn that down...
Now he has set the market.
You turn that down before Fletcher Cox. So then Fletcher Cox deal happens. And then now he can go back and just say, all right, well, now I want more. Now I want you to... do better than that deal.
Yeah, because now Fletcher Cox has set the market rather than Von Miller setting the market.
And meanwhile, they're still trying to play a game of chicken here, so.
Yeah, and we only have one more month. I mean, and anything can happen in a month.
Sure.
You know, there's going to be a lot of contracts and things that are going to be getting done over the next month.
They might want to sign them, though, now before someone else gets paid too much.
Good point. So a lot can happen in this next month, but... it doesn't sound good when he says there's no chance he's going to play under the tag. So basically, you know, he's sending this ultimatum right now that it's just like,
appease me,
contract, or I'm sitting out.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. This is just one of those situations though, where this player has earned it. You know,
yeah.
He's never had a history of anything but good play on the field.
He's never dogged it.
And he's shown up, you know, biggest in the biggest spotlight. And, I mean, that's a guy that you must keep.
Yes. I'm going to switch gears here. We're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens, because this week... at least they dodged somewhat of a bullet. You know, you've got Rashad Perriman, the wide receiver that they drafted last year in the first round. You know, a guy that they thought would be replacing Torrey Smith, be a big play guy, have a huge impact on that offense almost immediately. Ended up injuring his knee, spraining his knee during training camp, and it never really quite healed up. Missed the entire rookie season. He injured his knee again, reportedly some sort of a partial tear to his ACL. And the Ravens were worried that he was going to need surgery to repair it, therefore ending his second season in a row. Luckily, he does not. He had a scope done by Dr. James Andrews. He is not going to need his ACL repaired, and everybody's optimistic he'll be ready for training camp. That's good news. Obviously, if anybody knows about Perriman's history of his the genetic knee issue that he has that's kind of bothered him all his life, I'm sure that that helped contribute to what happened last year and this year. And so that's at least some good news for the Baltimore Ravens, because they're a team that needs some of it, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. Clearly, Ronnie Stanley is set to be the starting left tackle this year. He was their round one draft pick in this year's draft. They released Eugene Monroe this week for I would say a number of reasons, some football related, some not. Head coach John Harbaugh said that Monroe's activism towards allowing marijuana as a painkiller in the NFL was not a factor here. I think it was probably somewhat of a factor. The main factor, though, is that he was going to cost them $8.7 million this year, and he's only played in 17 games over the last two seasons. His health is a concern. It still remains a concern, and so they couldn't really justify paying him that much. But again, now you have – so now in this offensive situation, you have – we're talking about a rookie left tackle, while Joe Flacco is coming off of a catastrophic knee injury that hopefully he'll be ready to return from in week one. Steve Smith, he's not sure when he's going to be able to get back to practicing after tearing his Achilles last season. Tight end Dennis Pitta, he's trying to work his way back from consecutive hip injuries, fracturing and dislocating his hip twice, injuries that almost cost him his career. Justin Forsett, he broke his arm last year. And then you have, you know, three other guys. Receiver Michael Campanaro, he landed on IR to end last year. Tight end Crockett Gilmore, he was on injured reserve as well to end the year and also underwent surgery in the offseason. Running back Lorenzo Taliaferro, also on injured reserve with the foot. Tight end Nick Boyle, meanwhile, is suspended for the first 10 games of the season for PED use. Trent Richardson, brought on, signed because he was finally in football shape, now needs a knee scope. Terrell Suggs on defense, coming back from Achilles tear of his own, and also on the defensive side of the ball, Ladarius Webb has been moved from cornerback to safety. Granted,
you've started to lose me. Can we go back and start with the people that are healthy?
Okay. there's not very many of them. Well, I mean, there are obviously healthy players in the Ravens locker room right now, but there are a lot of extremely players of extremely high consequence and importance to this team, particularly on offense,
right,
who are coming off of very significant injuries, or in the case of Eugene Monroe, have been released. And it just, I just wonder, how healthy is this team capable of getting in the next 6 weeks before training camp, during training camp, staying healthy, and then getting back on the field and trying to get out of this hole that they're in.
Well, that's the key.
They had such a terrifying, terrible 2015 season, primarily because of all of these injuries.
That's the thing, though. You can't focus on getting back for week one. I mean, as much as you want to start off
sure
the season well and
but
all
who's
that.
Who's going to be ready for week one among them?
Anybody,
you know?
That's what I'm saying. If you got to be, you know, fully ready to get back and be able to last the season. That's,
yes.
That's when, you know, that's what everybody's goal is, to get to the point where they can last the season, not just get on the field. So, but yeah, that's obviously we saw, you know, what happened with them last year, and they were drafted in the top 10, like we haven't seen out of them hardly at all in years. So but that's the thing, is you just felt like they were the best team in the top 10 of the draft. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, because it's the Baltimore Ravens,
right,
and it's just
it's
like
still
you,
the Ravens,
you, it's,
so
you still can't be like, you know, I think we need a little bit more time of them struggling before I say, okay, this is apparently like a down period,
yeah,
for the Ravens.
No, it was an off year due mainly to injuries.
Right.
And, you know, because, yeah, everybody, you know, the people like to say, you know, that everybody has injuries, but, you know, they obviously got bit a little bit worse by that bug. So.
Yeah, I mean they. I mean, not only did they have numerous injuries, which, you know, as you said, obviously strikes every team at some point in the season, but it's just who got injured, you know.
Well, it was the amount and the
it's the number
the key
of injuries
roles.
And the key roles. You know, you're not talking about. You know, the Ravens are winning in a blowout, so they put in a backup quarterback and he gets hurt.
Right.
You know, you're talking about Joe Flacco suffering the first significant injury of his entire NFL career, missing game time,
they
missing
were obviously
starts
ill-prepared
for the first time in the NFL.
For Flacco going down, so.
Well, it's when you have a guy that you've seen like Flacco, you know, be an AFC North quarterback, absorb the kind of hits that he has, and, you know, have this be the first time that he's ever dealt with a significant injury, I mean, I think it's fair to say that he's an extraordinarily tough quarterback.
yeah, for
and,
sure.
And you also, and at one point, you know, at some point you have to have a decent backup quarterback situation should this kind of situation befall your team. But at the same time, you don't want to be, like, sitting there being like, okay, like, we really, really have to have, a ringer at backup because, like, this guy's going to get hurt. You know what I mean? We're not talking a Sam Bradford here.
Right. Where obviously
where
you don't
sign
really
the
backup.
Have to concern yourself with a backup given his significant injury history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out as a whole this summer with the Ravens, especially with – just the running back situation with Taliaferro and Forsett, and then, you know, if anything can come of this Trent Richardson acquisition. Terrence West is still there as well, picked up last year. So it would be interesting to see how that shakes out and what that might do to help, you know, if Joe Flacco's not ready for week one or if Joe Flacco is kind of limited in what he can do early on in the season, how that run game can help them out, especially because – you know, we're talking about a new left tackle. You know, then they had injuries on the offensive line last year as well. And then how the receiver situation shakes out as well. You know, if we're dealing with a healthy Campanaro, a healthy Perriman working together during training camp, plus the addition of Mike Wallace, and then, you know, the importance of Steve Smith whenever he's ready to get back out there, how that's going to shake out. And then the tight end group there right now just seems extremely impressive to me if everybody could be healthy and effective. You know, if Dennis Pitta can get back from his two devastating injuries, and then you've got Crockett Gilmore, you've got Max Williams, who they drafted last year, and then they brought on Benjamin Watson, mm-hmm. You know, to kind of round it out with a seasoned veteran. So I think that there's a lot of promise and a lot of potential, particularly on the Ravens' offensive side of the ball, but it's just a matter of who got injured, how are they recovering, when can they get back on the field, well, when are they going to be comfortable, you know?
I'd say the biggest factor because, I mean, whenever you look at, you know, a team that goes through a situation like that where they're a pretty good team, they lose a lot of guys and they have a rough year, mm-hmm. you should expect them to be back to their old selves the next year. But the X factor is anybody that has extra effects from, you know, just unexpected effects for you know, whatever injury they had, you know, can they quite get back to where they were? Or
right.
They're just
yeah,
not
always that
some
question.
Guys have that just that whatever injury, and they're just not the same after that.
Correct.
So, assuming none of that happens, no, I'd say it's full expectations again.
I mean, if I was you know, confident that this team was completely healthy right now, and this, especially on the offense, I would say, hey, I think the Ravens are onto something. You know, they could really be onto something this year and bounce back really well and have a really interesting and complex offense. But it's just like, you know, there's so many, like, caution.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much caution that has to be taken here. And even just the little things, like if Joe Flacco is limited or doesn't really participate in half of training camp or a majority of training camp, then he's not going to have the ability to get those, you know, active, you know, practice reps
mm-hmm.
with Perriman, you know, with these younger guys, with new guys like Ben Wallace or Mike Wallace and Ben Watson, and then building that rapport might have to wait until even later in the summer or until essentially the regular season. So those are going to be relationships that take time to build, and how much time they can conceivably build them by actually, you know, running plays together on the field. I think that's going to be a major factor.
Yeah, well, that's
in
always,
how this
that's
comes
always
together.
The thing is how the quarterback, you know, that almost chemistry with
right.
with their
right.
receivers.
But then he's coming off these injuries. He's a lot of new faces.
It's
going to
definitely stunt
that
timeline for sure.
So there's a lot to pay attention to there with the Ravens. I'm going to be interested to see how things progress, especially with a lot of these guys we're talking about here. Once camp begins.
Yeah. How quickly can they get back to their old selves, or will they?
And the good news for Eugene Monroe is that there are teams interested in him. He's going to visit with at least six teams, and he's going to take his time since there's 6 weeks between training camp and now, and he'll make his decision then. He has made it clear, though, because the New York Giants were interested in him and bringing him aboard to play right tackle, and he is adamant he's not going to play right tackle. He's a left tackle.
Interesting.
That's the technique he knows best. I mean, it is a different kind of technique moving from the left to the right, and he's not interested in making that transition. And plus, you know, right or wrong, left tackle does pay more.
Hey, I get it, and I'm just saying, like, you know, we'll see if, you know, if everybody wants him at right tackle, you know, that's his only option. Is he
then
still
maybe
be
he
still
might
stuck
he might acquiesce
a
little bit, might loosen up and say, oh, you know. Right tackle could – maybe I could do that.
Exactly.
Maybe, I mean, you know, look at Michael Oher. I mean, he's moved from right to left numerous times over his career, was kind of a liability in Baltimore, had a pretty much a lost year with Tennessee, and had the best season of his career last season as a left tackle protecting and blocking for Cam Newton. And
yep.
he just got a contract extension.
Right.
Actually, coincidentally, one of the – offensive lineman under pressure that I wrote about earlier this offseason for Sports on Earth, because of the stigma of Michael Oher's previous years, and he was going into a contract year after this, but they've nipped that off of the bud and gave him an extension this week. So congratulations, Michael Oher.
Yeah.
You were given not just a second chance, but a third chance in the NFL, and
there you have
and
it.
He's owning it, so good for him.
Yeah, it's
good
all,
news
it's,
for Trent Richardson, aside from the fact that he had to have another knee scope.
Yeah, well, it just shows you that, like, it's tough to, you know, count anybody out if they're, you know, still willing to put in the work.
Exactly. So,
or now,
you know,
willing to put in the work,
RG3,
depending on however. Yeah, exactly.
Colin Kaepernick, perhaps.
Well, it makes you wonder about, like, a lot of guys that were written off in the past, you know, and, like, had someone else given them one more shot, you know, had... Maybe things would have worked out differently
maybe
for them.
Maybe things worked out. I mean, that's got to be the case so often, especially in the NFL, especially when you're talking about this time of year, there's 90 guys on the roster, and then in September there are 53 on the active roster.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know? And some people get opportunities, some people don't, and some people get other opportunities to get opportunities, and some
mm-hmm.
people don't. And on that note...
Yep.
We're keeping it nice and short, sweet this week here on the F-Ball NFL podcast. So that about wraps it up.
Yeah, quick one.
Quick one. Well, hey, we covered the big stories. We talked about the reconstruction of the Ravens offense. We talked about money and Von Miller.
We didn't talk about Goodell getting hacked, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah, Goodell got hacked. Ha ha. That's all you need to know there. It's like an old story now, though.
Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows.
But still, it's fun to mention.
Oh, and I guess I will mention, if you're not watching the O.J. Made in America documentary series on ESPN, you know, it's not – O.J. was a football player, but it's not really about football. It's more of an American history lesson, a story about crime, and a story about race in this country. And it's fantastic. And if you haven't started watching it, that might be a good binge watch for your weekend. If it's too hot, or you don't have any Father's Day plans, or – If your weather gets bad,
or maybe you're
whatever.
A father and that's what you've decided
maybe
to do.
That's
your plan.
Maybe that's what you've decided to do. Lock yourself up in a man cave somewhere and watch 10 hours of OJ. But I highly recommend it. If you haven't started watching it already, please, you should definitely do it.
Quite outstanding.
It's quite outstanding. All the hype you've heard,
it's true.
Is true. And that does it. That's about it, right?
That'll
wrap it up. This has been the F-Ball NFL podcast. I'm the host. I'm Andrea Hengst. I cover the NFL at sportsonearth.com and at thecomeback.com. And I also cover the Cleveland Browns at scout.com's Orange and Brown Report. You can find me on Twitter at FBall_Andrea. That's FBALL_Andrea.
And, of course, I'm Brian. I can be found on Twitter at BFAT65. That's at BFAT65.
Well, until next time, you can sit around and hold your breath waiting for Von Miller and Ryan Fitzpatrick to get their contracts ironed out. And we'll see you again here soon at the F-Ball NFL podcast. What is wrong with me? The F-Ball NFL podcast.
Later.
Peace.